The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "Only one who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you should also do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Be with us this night, Lord, as you were with your disciples. Be known to us as we break bread and share your love for one another, remembering your teachings this night. Speak to us through words, through scriptures, through the way that we will care for one another and love one another. All these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last summer, I had the chance to travel with a group of youth and adults from my parish in West Hartford on a mission trip to Ecuador. Our trip was in collaboration with an organization called Partners for Andean Community Health, which had been founded by a West Hartford resident to address significant health needs in Ecuador, particularly in rural communities high in the Andes. The main clinic is located in the city of Riobamba, where a range of low-cost medical and surgical care is provided to those who can travel to the clinic. And in addition to the clinic work, daily buses of doctors, clinic staff, long-term volunteers comprised of medical students or Peace Corps volunteers, as well as visiting groups like ours, take buses high up into the mountains, to run mobile primary care clinics in remote communities. On our mobile clinic days, we loaded supplies into the bus and took long, twisty roads up into the mountains, simultaneously overcome with wonder at the beauty of the lush green mountain landscapes, as well as occasional terror as the large bus wound up the narrow mountain passes. One clinic location was so remote that it was impossible for the bus to reach, and so the final stretch of the journey involved being shuttled up the remainder of the mountain in small groups in pickup trucks. Upon arrival at each location, often an abandoned school building, we would help to set up the day's clinic, which consisted of three services. The first was optometry and the provision of reading glasses, which we learned was the medical intervention with the single largest economic impact in rural communities, where handiwork and crafts that brought in income to the community would be threatened by diminished vision. The second service provided was dentistry, where a dentist leaned patients back in a lawn chair to provide basic and more complex services. The third service was a clinic with a doctor who had dual certifications in chiropractics and Andean medicine from the only indigenous university in Ecuador. The youth volunteers on the trip rotated between optometry and dentistry, as well as entertaining kids whose parents were receiving care, playing soccer, blowing bubbles, doing crafts. On our second clinic day, the chiropractor invited a couple of the adult volunteers from our group to join him in his clinic to assist with adjustments and massages for the patients, many of whom were in significant pain. One of the most common complaints that brought patients into this part of the clinic was translated for us as the cold got trapped in their legs. And we were instructed on how to provide a particular type of massage for the calves and feet. As I knelt before the men and women that day, I was immediately reminded of the many foot washing services I've been a part of over my life on Maundy Thursday. The setup was the same. Them in the chair, me kneeling before them, a scented oil replacing the water. Some of the people groaned or gasped in pain during the massage, but even despite the Quechua English language barrier, their smiles made it clear that they didn't want me to stop. It was just the release of years of pain. These were men and women who had worked hard for many years in agriculture and herding on the mountainside, raising families, cooking, weaving. Men and women who'd had little access to traditional health care, formal education, largely ignored and unseen by the world outside their small, remote villages. While I massaged their feet and legs, they looked at me with such tenderness, such gratitude, a look of amazement that I was taking time to care for them, that I saw them. Though we lived totally different lives on different continents and had no ability to connect through language, there was something universal still being communicated through touch, time, attention, care. Any of the barriers that existed between us were erased. And by the end of the day, I understood something new about Maundy Thursday. The disciples had been following their beloved teacher for 3 years, listening to him teach, watching him heal and cast out demons. They were devoted to him, inspired by him. They respected him. And so when he knelt before them, they protested. It wasn't the way they thought this should go. But he insisted. And as he knelt before them with a towel wrapped around his waist, as he held their feet, he showed them that he saw them. He saw in their haggard feet the weariness of all they'd been through. He knew it in himself, too. And in the gentle touch as he cleaned their feet, he showed them how deeply connected they were in their common humanity. He cared for even this most humble part of their bodies, his touch communicating love for them more deeply than words could express. It's so strange to be reflecting on touch and connection in this time in which we are unable to touch, to be together in person. On this day that we call Maundy Thursday, so named for the Latin term mandatum novum, the new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. We reenact foot washing most years to be reminded and to remind one another of this kind of love that sees and cares and gives in small and humble ways. And as hard as it is not to do the same ritual this year, isn't this kind of love the reason we're not together this year? As much as it's easy to slip into thinking that we're hunkering down at home to keep ourselves safe, it's actually something we do not for ourselves, but for others. Flattening the curve, that's what this is all about. Minimizing the contact we might have with those most vulnerable. Being good stewards of a fixed number of resources. Doing what we can to keep from overwhelming an already overtaxed healthcare system. Made up not of numbers and statistics, but real people risking their own health and safety to care for others. This whole grand design of social distancing is about seeing other people, recognizing their risk, their suffering, and making a choice to limit, to lower, to constrain, to humble ourselves, not for our own sake, but for theirs. If we think only about ourselves in this time, it becomes an opportunity solely for fear and anxiety. We're hiding out at home trying not to get sick. Yet when we remember that what we are doing is for one another, we see that it is a radical act of love. We say with our actions that we see and we value the people that this virus will affect the most, and we choose to kneel down, to put our lives on hold to some extent, as a sign of love for one another. This is the commandment we are being asked to follow during this time. Love one another as I have loved you. Just over 2 weeks ago, a piece of paper appeared on a utility pole in Mount Lebanon, Pennsylvania, and it circulated all over social media, resonating deeply with people about the true meaning of what's happening right now. That piece of paper read, "And then the whole world walked inside and shut their doors and said, we will stop it all, everything, to protect our weaker ones, our sicker ones, our older ones, and nothing, nothing in the history of humankind ever felt more like love than this." We are being asked to love one another this year in a new way, allowing that love to change our lives for the sake of others. There is so much to learn from this time about truly seeing each other, caring for each other, letting our love for one another transform our lives. This may well be a chance for us to see how our love for one another can participate in the healing of the world. We just have to keep our true reason for all that we're doing present in our minds. Our mandatum novum, our new commandment, to love one another as Christ loved us. And so this year, Since we are unable to gather and reenact Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, we're going to do something a little different. In just a few moments, I'm going to ask you to go right now in your home and wash your hands. In doing so, I invite you to remember Jesus' invitation to love one another as I have loved you. In fact, I timed it out, and you can even repeat it as you wash. About 5 times gets you to the recommended 20 seconds. As you wash, remember that so many of the things that we are being asked to do right now, staying home, wearing masks, washing our hands, are not ultimately for our own sake, but for others. Out of love for one another, caring as a community for the most vulnerable among us. Sue will play some music for us as we wash, and when we're done, we'll gather here again in prayer. So love one another as Christ has loved us, now more than ever.